a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today will be Pastor J.P. Mosley from the Pier 4 Pier Ministerial Association. Leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance will be Paige's Antoine, Lexi Antoine from Del Rapids and Carly Appletoff from Aberdeen.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can meet to be about the business of South Dakota. Pray that you be with every representative here as they represent their people back in their own home areas. And we pray that you would give them the discernment they need to make the right vote and make that vote count. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamat, Campbell, Parson, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Don Hager, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Holly, Heineman, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, May, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Romkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Shamefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stulzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Vercio, Werner, Westra, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosh. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 26th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosh, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal is approved. With us today in the gallery, I see, on behalf of Representatives Eklund, Jenna Hager, and Don Hager, is the News of Washington from Washington High School at Sioux Falls with their leader, Jason Luth. Please stand, folks. Thank you for being here today. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that Senate Bill 139, 168, and 181 do pass. Scott Munsterman, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that Senate Bill 17 and 205 do pass. Senate Bill 1 do pass as amended. Charles B. Hoffman, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 42 was tabled. Mike Vergil, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that Senate Bill 166 do pass and Senate Bill 121 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Tim Rounds, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills 1006, 1052, and 1157, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 15, 28, 51, 76, 130, 136, 154, 155, 159, 176, 180, 207, 229, 232, 233, 236, 237, and 238, which have passed the Senate in your favorable consideration, is respectfully requested. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, which has been adopted by the Senate, and your concurrence is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, expressing support for civic education in the public schools in South Dakota and recognizing March 6, 2013 as Civic Education Day at the State Capitol. The Speaker has waived the committee referral. Representative Luss moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 12:30 p.m. on Friday, February 22nd, the 28th legislative day.
Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Luss moves that the reports of the standing committees on education, on Senate Bill 80, on State Affairs, on Senate Bill 5, and on Judiciary, on Senate Bill 39 of the House Journal be adopted.
Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 207, an act to make certain legislative findings concerning federal infringement on Second Amendment rights. Senate Bill 229, an act to make an appropriation for the purpose of providing funding for career and technical education. Senate Bill 232, an act to limit political contributions by certain political action committees. Senate Bill 233, an act to create the Critical Teaching Needs Scholarship Program and to make an appropriation to the Education Enhancement Trust Fund to provide for the annual funding of the scholarships.
I see most people in the gallery have been here before, but for the Washington High School students, what just happened is the first reading of those Senate bills. Each bill must have two readings in each chamber under Article 3, Section 17 of our South Dakota Constitution, and you just saw the first reading. Speaker assigns Senate Bill 15 to Education, Senate Bill 28 to Appropriations, 44 to Judiciary, 51 Taxation, 76 Education, 130 Local Government, 136 State Affairs, 142 Judiciary, 143 Transportation, 154 Transportation, 155 Local Government, 159 Education, 176 Appropriations, 180 Local Government, 182 Judiciary, 183 Judiciary, 195 Commerce, 207 State Affairs, 229 Appropriations, 232 State Affairs, 233 Education, 235 State Affairs, 236 Appropriations, 237 Education, 238 Appropriations. Consent calendar items.
Senate Bill 13, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the administration of mineral rights on and under research parks. Senate Bill 32, an act to revise the provisions under which the Bureau of Administration may enter into contracts for insurance and reinsurance. Senate Bill 12, an act to update citations and revise certain provisions regarding permits for energy facilities. Senate Bill 67, an act to revise the requirements for health maintenance organizations. Senate Bill 85, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the production incentive payment available to ethanol producers.
The consent calendar bills, having had their second reading or for consideration, these bills cannot be debated on the House floor unless they are pulled from the consent calendar. Are there any questions of the members of the body on the consent calendar bills? Seeing none, the question for the House is final consideration and passage of the consent calendar bills. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Hoffman votes aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Hunhoff votes aye. Representative Carson and Rompkema. Oh. Okay. Rompkema and Carson are excused. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 65 yeas, 2 nays.
The consent calendar bills, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Seeing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 52, an act to authorize 1 cent credit denominations for video lottery machines, to authorize the award of $1,000 on a video lottery machine, and to make form and style changes to certain provisions regarding the lottery.
Senate Bill 52, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Werner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow House members, it was my privilege and honor to serve on the Lottery Commission from 2004 through 2012. And today, through those years, we looked at things that we could do to keep our entertainment value fresh, etc. Today is one of those results of our strategic planning session that we've had over the past several months. Senate Bill 52 is a lottery bill that does three things. Number one, it makes a penny-eligible denomination for video lottery terminals. Currently, they are a nickel and 25 cents, so it lowers the option to a penny. Number two, it eliminates the bet-to-award ratio and caps the maximum award at $1,000, which is the current cap. Currently, we had a quarter. You could win for every quarter $125 to get to the $1,000. It eliminated all that language. It just leaves the $1,000 cap. Number three, it cleans up and clarifies some existing lottery statutes as part of the governor's red tape. Two things it does not do. It does not expand gambling and does not change the current maximum bet limit, nor the current $1,000 maximum payout. The lottery continues to promote responsible gaming in our state, as evidenced by its annual allocation of funds to the Department of Human Services for problem gambling treatment services. This bill will keep South Dakota competitive in the video lottery industry by eliminating a South Dakota-specific requirement regarding penny games, making it possible to better utilize a manufacturer's existing library of games without additional costs for the video lottery operators in our state. It has widespread support from industry groups. It also cleans up existing lottery statutes, as I mentioned again. It provides for more efficient financial reporting of the lottery and removes redundant and unnecessary language as requested through the governor's red tape. I would ask you to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm going to rise in opposition to this. You've heard this won't encourage or expand gambling, but what about Granny, who wouldn't bet a nickel or a quarter in one of those machines, and now she can put in a penny? I think this might encourage her to do that. And it's for that reason that I would encourage you to vote red on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I rise for the same reason. If video lottery doesn't give you heartburn, then this is a very easy bill for you to go green on. And I know that a technical case can be made that this is a penny, and it could be even a reduction in gambling. But I think a case was just made very simply that it would entice additional people who wouldn't be doing the nickel. If it was a true reduction, maybe and eliminate the nickel. But let me make a comment that is a little more of a bigger picture. I, as often as I can, try to celebrate the state of South Dakota fiscally. I am proud of the balanced budget. I am proud of the work that we do to not spend more than we bring in. I understand that to some degree our state has been sheltered from a greater economic upheaval in other states, and I do recognize business that comes to our state. All of that's good. But hear me out. There's an underside, and that underside is that we're highly dependent upon federal dollars, and we are also dependent and addicted, if you could put it that way, to, I believe, unhealthy revenue sources, of which video gambling is certainly one of them. I liken this when I talk at Cracker Barrels and various things to this. If my kid his diet was 60% or 50% Twinkies and 10% candy, and he was growing, I wouldn't be accurate to say he's healthy just because he's growing. And I liken that to the South Dakota budget. I'm here in part to help, and I'd like to see other things come forward that wean us off of some of the unhealthy sources of revenue, federal dollars, and video gambling. I look forward to the day when we're not dependent upon this. We absolutely are right now. So if we can keep it where it is, I would support that. And I would support creativity to eliminate our dependency upon it, because there are social costs to it. We can fight that another day. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Representative, for the remarks. Representative Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I don't know, and we're all concerned about, you know, expansion of video lottery. By adding the penny, you're essentially giving Granny the option of not betting the nickel, but betting the penny. Now, and along with this, as we heard by the sponsor of the bill, that we're not adding any more machines for our lottery vendors. We're not raising the cap. We're simply giving the option. Now, granted, had we wanted to put in here that we could increase that from 25 cents to 50 cents, yes, I would agree. However, we're dropping it to a penny. So, you know, in my mind, I think we're lowering that overall average for those 10 machines in that particular casino or wherever they might be located. So, and no, it's not an expansion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The video industry is a proponent on this bill. Now, do you think if they were possibly going to be cutting into their revenue that they'd be a proponent on this? It appears to me, apparently, there's going to be revenue raised on this, so they wouldn't be for it. Now, I can go along with getting this clean up, getting the redundancy out of this, I would be for that. And I think we ought to have a bill to do that. But we're looking at, goodness, I don't even know what the figure is right now. I've seen everything from $90 million to $120 million that we rely on in our budget for our state from gambling. And I don't think that is the route we should be going. We don't even take into consideration the people who have been harmed by this industry, and they're out there. I know some personally, and I would be opposed to the industry completely, but we're so hooked on this, like the federal government, we really can't just sever it. But I cannot see expanding it, and I believe this does expand it. So I would ask you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question, please.
Are these machines going to allow you to put just one penny in and bet one penny at a minimum?
Representative Warner, would you like to answer that question?
I would. Thank you. No, it would not. In fact, if you most the new machines do not even accept anything other than currency. The VLCs, the old ones, had some of the coin slots, but the new machines only have currency that you can put in them. You can play a penny once you put it in. You bet a penny, you lose it, or if you win with it, you can cash out and then go from there and get your currency back.
Representative Feinstein, you still have the floor.
Well, thank you. I was in, my wife and I were in Las Vegas over the New Year's time, and the machines there were boasting a penny. But the minimum you could actually bet on any one pull or any one push was anywhere from 50 cents to a buck and a half. And that was really the purpose of the question is, do they and will they allow you to bet one penny? But like again, and I I guess the sponsor said they would, but I have not seen any machines when they say a penny that really allow you to only put in 1 cent. Okay, I guess I'll re-ask the question.
Do you have another question, Representative Paisan?
Well, do you know that definitively? Does the sponsor know that definitively from the industry that you can bet just one penny and get a pull or a push of the button?
Representative Werner would like to answer the question whether you can bet just one penny at a time after you put the paper currency in.
You can, and it applies to the line games, and it depends on how many lines you want to play. If you only want to play the one line, it's a penny. If you want to play multiple lines, it would be a penny for each line beyond that line.
Thank you. Representative Feinstein, you still have the floor.
Well, thank you. And if that is the case, I can agree with the sponsor that it would not be an expansion of gaming. If that is not the case, I would the people that are saying they're voting no are probably more correct that it would probably expand gaming. But I think you have to think about it yourself and decide. And I'm still contemplating where I'm going on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hickey, you've already spoken once. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I did have the honor of serving on the Video Lottery Commission for a year and a half, and the present governor and the past governor have assembled a tremendous group that serve on that. People with financial backgrounds, people with business backgrounds. I'm sure I was by far the weakest link when I was there. But they were trying, these people are trying to make a partnership with the businesses that are providing this service to us, and it is a service. It raises over $100 million. It's probably the second biggest source of income that we have for the state of South Dakota. And I know that there is opposition to gambling. But don't make this a referendum on gambling, because it shouldn't be. We voted on that 4 different times. What they are trying to do, there's a lot of machines out there, a lot of software that accepts a penny. And this has to be modified if it's going to be used here in South Dakota. And so it's a savings for the companies, for our partners, if we accept the penny. We're not expanding the number of machines. An establishment is still limited to 10 machines. That means that they're going to have to take one that had a higher denomination and change it over to that penny machine. So I don't consider it an expansion of gambling at all, and I hope that you can vote green. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to get up and speak on this. I don't think I win any points speaking against or for it, but let's not confuse the issue. We're not voting up or down gambling tonight or today. And when the former speaker, I very much appreciate those comments. Last year in state affairs, we did have a bill that definitely would have expanded gambling machines in every lottery terminal, every lottery business in the state, and that bill was killed. At the same time, I was a prime sponsor on a bill that increased the bet limits in Deadwood to a 1,000 max bet. I was told by numerous people that destination gambling, such as Deadwood, is not that is highly addictive. But what we have in all of our casinos, and that's actually a bill for another day if you want to have gambling or not have gambling, but I really have a hard time wrapping my mind around how changing a bet that is also the same money going in, the same type of bets on the machine, we're changing the structure, but we're not changing the severity. Some people have moral issues with gambling. I get that. I understand that. Those are fine. But let's not confuse. This is not an expansion of gambling. I think I'd win that argument in any case. So I appreciate all of the concern. But let's look at this logistically, as if we're going to be into this gambling scene, as I think every state in America just about is, we have to work with those folks who are providing the software and the hardware to allow us to be in that game. But let's not make the referendum today a negative or positive for being there. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Briefly, my father-in-law, he told me a story
about when his kids were small, driving through Las Vegas. He wanted to show them the evils of gambling. And what he did was he put a nickel into a machine, pulled that arm on the one-arm bandit, and he won the jackpot. And then he says that he stayed there a long time, making his kids put every single one of those coins back in. And lo and behold, every single one went back in, and nothing else came out. The truth of gambling is, it is gambling. Now, people want to gamble with their wealth. I guess it's a free country, they can do that. But perhaps we're in a different position than those that do the gambling. We are the receivers. We're actually the recipients of those that lose. Gambling is made primarily for you to lose. My conscience forbids me from winning or gaining something, especially monetarily, from those who are losing in something designed for them to lose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor of the bill.
State your question, please.
My question is there new machines that we currently can't have in South Dakota because we have the current laws the way they are?
Representative Werner, would you like to answer that question?
I would. No, we are transitioning. The lottery was started 26 years ago in our state. And all those machines, the VLTs, were the original ones. There's over 9,000 of them. Currently, we have transitioned about 16% of them. All the rest of them have been decommissioned or considered obsolete by the commission, meaning they can never be replaced, never be repaired, unless they want to wire them together and keep everything moving on it. So, to answer your question, no, the new machines would accommodate the penny. The old machines do not accommodate the penny. So it will help us keep the games fresh and entertaining for our people that play them. An elective choice.
Representative Latterell, you still have the floor.
Well, thank you for the answer to that question. My statement is that if we had a benefactor that came into the state and offered us a certain sum of money in a trust fund to help us to reduce our dependence on gambling, how many of you would consider voting in favor of that to reduce our gambling and reduce our dependency on it? What we're doing with this bill is we're making it easier to get these new games into the state, these new technologies. And I would gather, if I was designing these machines, I would be finding ways to make them more addictive, more fun, and more likely to have you enjoy losing money. And so, for that reason, I don't think that we should accommodate and encourage this activity in this body at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hayek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. And I do want to be corrected by the sponsor of the bill, if I'm mistaken on this. Having stuck a penny or two in or a quarter or two into a machine, if I understand what you're saying, that the machines that are getting now, they have all these lines, which I don't quite understand the whole thing, and that's probably why I shouldn't ever go near them, but every now and then. And that if we take it down to a penny, it will allow a person to play numerous lines without putting a ton of money in. In other words, if at a nickel they play five lines, they're going to put a quarter in every time. At a penny they pay five lines, they're going to put a nickel in. They pay a nickel. My understanding is that the machines that they have, we will have no matter what. And they will be set now, either nickel, dime, quarter, going up. If we pass this bill, we allow it lower, so that the persons will not be actually required to spend as much money doing it. This is not a yes, no, up, down gambling. This is just essentially the news of the industry. And so with these machines that are coming in, if we keep it at a nickel, and those people are sitting there and say, oh golly, I might be able to win more if I play three lines or four lines or five lines, each time they play, it's a nickel. If we take it to the penny, each time they play, it's a penny. I know it sounds crazy, but it's the name of gaming. And am I correct on that? May I ask the sponsor?
State your question.
Yeah, am I correct on that?
Mr. Speaker?
Would you like to answer that?
Yes, I will. Yes, you are correct.
Thank you. Representative Hayek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think that clarification maybe will help people understand that essentially we're going to keep people from spending more money instead of, you know, so I would encourage a green vote on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, that really clarifies it for us. It's going to take Granny, instead of 5 hours to spend her Social Security check, it'll take her 15. So I guess that's the bottom line. Win, lose, or draw, it's got to make money for gambling. That's the bottom line. They're not going to put it in if it was going to just be a freebie for them or even lose money. They're going to make money. And that's why they're putting them in. So if I were you, I would push that red button. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Would any member of the House like to speak for Representative Hickey speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question.
I am a little confused. If I understand you can use only paper money. You can't just put a little penny in, copper penny, but you can play a penny at a time. If I only wanted to play one penny, would that machine give me 99 cents back, or do I have to play more? That's my question.
Representative Werner, would you like to answer that question?
I will. Yes, it will print out a ticket, 99 cents back, but I'm hopeful in your case it'd be $1.01.
Representative Hickey, you still have the floor.
No further.
Further remarks? Senate Bill 52, Representative Fiker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor of the bill.
State your question.
I was just out of curiosity, is there a projection of how much more this will generate? Obviously, it is done for the purpose of generating revenue. I'm just curious if there's been any projections.
Representative Werner, would you like to answer that question?
Actually, yes, I would. Let me share some facts with you. Over the history of the lottery, which is in its 26th year, we have put into the state coffers $2.140 billion. Now, whatever we put into our coffers, your local establishments also achieved. However, it was probably more than that because we started out at a lower rate than 50-50. To answer the representative from Aberdeen's question, what we're trying to do here is keep the games fresh and entertaining. Of that revenue, that $2.140 billion, the peak was in fiscal year 2008 of $123 million. Since that time, due to the smoking ban and our old VLTs, our revenue in this state has dropped by $20 million a year from 2008. What this will do is help stabilize our income because those players will want to play them versus going up to some 26-year-old machine and wanting to play them. And I'm going to say also in respect, I'll save it for the final. But anyway, does that answer your question?
Representative Fiker, you still have the floor.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the answer.
Thank you. Further remarks? Would any member like to speak for Representative Craig speaks for a second time? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Video lottery has been tough on some of my patients, and I just wanted to share that it's not just a penny, it's not just a nickel or a quarter. I've had wives in my office in tears because their husband had stopped and plugged their whole paycheck in the video lottery, and they didn't know how they were going to buy their groceries that week or pay their mortgage. So I've seen it break homes apart, so I am not going to be voting for this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Craig.
Just briefly, I think I just heard that the state has received $1.4 billion. I know people are trying to get rich quick when they gamble, but they end up getting poor quick. And that we've received that much money that, again, perhaps not going to the state would have been better spent within the home, at the homestead, investing in lives, investing in business, investing in genuine, lasting efforts at those people could have been more proud of. I just think it's unconscionable that we would be a state that would receive, or let's say, get rich quick off of those that are getting poor quick. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. If this bill doesn't pass today, people will still be losing their paychecks in these machines. We're not voting up and down on video lottery. We're talking about some cleanup, red tape, and the one word, penny. I think it is far from an expansion. Instead of betting that quarter, people may bet the penny. That is not an expansion of gambling. These machines are coming with that capability. We have no choice. That's what's here. These line games are what they're bringing to us, folks. Some people I've heard today have been dumping on the vendors, the businessman who's supplying these machines. They're going to have that extra cost now of changing these machines over if we don't pass this bill. That takes money out of their pocket. Yeah, let's stick it to them. Folks, we're talking of adding that option of a penny line game. We're not voting up and down on gambling. If we did that, we'd have to talk about the stock market. How many gamble in the stock market today? How many are gambling today that they're going to wait till tomorrow to put gas in their car because the price may not go up? We are faced with gambling questions all the time. We're not voting on that issue. We're voting on some changes in the bill in one word, penny. Think about it and vote green. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would concur 100% with the previous speaker's remarks. This is one penny. One penny. This is not about the expansion or gambling. This is about one penny, along with the other cleanup. I would ask you to vote green. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Cronin.
Respectfully call the previous question.
Those in favor of calling the previous question will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 52. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. I hope behind me we still have Natalie Prinz, the 2012 South Dakota 4-H Rodeo Ambassador. She is the 17-year-old daughter of Brian and Sheila Prinz. She lives in Sisseton, South Dakota on her family's ranch. Natalie is active in rodeo gymnastics, FBLA, and is recognized in the United States Achievement Academy National Yearbook for Science. When Natalie graduates from high school, she plans to pursue a career as a dermatologist. She is here representing 4-H in our state's number one sport, rodeo. Please welcome her. Representative Virtue. Granted.
Thank you. I noticed when I came in today that we have some distinguished guests up here in the gallery who work for one of and help our economy a lot in the Black Hills and work for one of the premier attractions at Crazy Horse near between Custer and Hill City. And I'm also honored to have them as neighbors. Would you please welcome Raleigh and Pagno?
Welcome.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 39 yeas, 28 nays.
Senate Bill 52, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 23, an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to the certification board for alcohol and drug professionals and to increase certain fees.
Senate Bill 23, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Magstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House.
Senate Bill 23 is a from a the Department of Social Services, and it was work done by the Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals, formed a work group in 2011, and this is the result of that work. They had some town hall meetings. They had various stakeholders, agencies, professionals, staff in the Department of Social Services. The four things that this bill does is, number one, changes the board's name from the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals to the Board of Addiction and Prevention Professionals, and the reason they're changing their name is because they deal with more addictions than just alcohol and drug addictions, including gambling, gambling and food addictions, but let's not revisit that bill again. All right. Number two, raises the ceilings for licensure fees. They haven't been raised in 15 years, and they're not keeping up with costs. If they do not are not allowed to raise the licensure fees, they will run out of money by 2014 and not be able to pay their bills. And three, it adds a licensure option for addiction counselors. And four, requires a disclosure of a history of a felony by the addiction counselor. I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on Senate Bill 23? Seeing none. Question before the House is final passage of Senate Bill 23. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. This will be a two-thirds vote for the increase in certain fees to a continuously appropriated fund. Two-thirds vote.
Otten votes aye. Representative Feichert and Werner. Werner votes aye. Feichert votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 57 yeas, 10 nays.
Senate Bill 23, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 41, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the requirements for school bus inspection and to authorize the Highway Patrol to approve school bus inspectors.
Senate Bill 41, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Kaiser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Senate Bill 41 is a department bill from the Department of Public Safety. Right now in South Dakota, with all of our school districts, there are about 1,700 individual school buses that need to be inspected annually. And right now that responsibility falls upon the Highway Patrol and the Motor Carrier Division of Department of Public Safety. So what the Highway Patrol has found is doing it in this manner, with them having to go out to all these individual school districts and inspect these buses, it's very difficult on manpower. And on some other issues they have is they're having the school bus folks have to drive that school bus up to 70 miles to get the school bus inspected. So what they're asking this body to do is pass this bill, which would allow them to train and certify members of the private schools and the public schools to inspect their own buses, consolidate inspections and services with other schools, or if they would like to continue to be inspected by the Highway Patrol. And this is going to help the schools to reduce or eliminate fuel and labor costs to take the buses to various inspection sites for the Highway Patrol. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House's final passage of Senate Bill 41. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Russell votes aye. Represent. Record votes aye. Representative Ring. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 41, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 45, an act to permit certain persons to renew an operator's license, a motorcycle operator's license, or non-driver identification card without appearing in person at a driver license exam site.
Senate Bill 45, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ring.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and fellow representatives, this bill is also brought at the request of the Department of Public Safety. We're all familiar with the way that every 5 years we have to go renew our driver's license, go to the driver's license exam station, write a check, and take an eye test. What this bill would do is it would allow us once in every 10-year period, so every second time that you renew your driver's license, you could renew it by mail or online rather than going to the station, if it's a federally compliant driver's license. So the first time you have to go through all those, bringing all the documentation and so forth that's required these days. Since you won't be going to driver's license station, you wonder about taking the vision test. That'll be provided by the Driver's License Bureau. Will provide forms to the optometrists and ophthalmologists, so when you go for your eye test, you can get a note that says you can see. Changing personal identification information, such as a name change or reinstating a suspended or revoked license, will still have to be done in person, but you can make an address change this way. This procedure would shorten the lines at the driver's license station and avoid long drives to the exam station for many South Dakotans. You could also do this with the non-driver identification cards, which is an obvious advantage for elderly people and people with disabilities who might have a hard time getting to the exam station. This bill passed unanimously in the Transportation Committee and in the Senate, so I ask your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 45. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Wick. Representative Wick. Wick votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 67 yeas, two nays.
Senate Bill 45, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it's been brought to my attention in the gallery to my right, we have former Governor Walter Dale Miller. Please give him a House welcome. Although I can't see him behind that pillar, I've been told that his wife is here as well, so welcome, Pat. And I think the reason he's over here, because he served in the greatest chamber for about 20 years. Thank you for being here. That would be the House, of course. Thank you.
Senate Bill 72, an act to revise certain provisions concerning inspections of food service establishments by the Department of Health.
Senate Bill 72, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Remarks? Representative Kamak.
Senate Bill 72 is an act to revise certain provisions concerning inspection of food service establishments by the Department of Health. Food service establishments are supposed to receive 2 inspections a year, and the inspection scores are then posted online by the Department of Health where they may be viewed by the public. If a business receives a score between 90 and 99, there's no trigger mechanism for a reinspection. That's a fairly decent score, and there's no need to reinspect. But if they should get a score between 80 and 89, if the operator is having a bad day or the inspector is having a bad day, and the business would have an option for a reinspection, they would have to pay a fee of $100 to cover the additional costs, and the follow-up inspection would take place within 60 days, and a new score would be added to the establishment's online score page. As an operator of a restaurant, and I get an uncharacteristically low score, I'd have to wait 6 months or more for another inspection. And you're really stuck with that low inspection. And there are members of the general public that make a decision whether or not to frequent a business based on a score. So an uncharacteristically low score could cost a business some business. This gives the owner the ability to request an expedite inspection and have them come back out. And it gives the restaurant a chance to improve that score before the next routine inspection happens. It's going to be a limited option, and it will not necessarily be widely used, but it's an option that's available for business owners to if they choose to use it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? I almost thought young Representative Russell was there for any remarks, but that's a different Russell. Any remarks? Seeing none, question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 72. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Russell votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas, 1 nay.
The House, Senate Bill 72, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 18, an act to authorize the Department of Agriculture to construct a 4-H exhibit hall in Huron and to make an appropriation therefore.
Senate Bill 18, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Any remarks? Representative Werner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. This bill is special interest to me because I was in 4-H all my school days, and also my wife was. And we've seen one of the examples in our gallery in the 4-H Rodeo Queen, one of 8,500 4-H members in this state. And we can be very proud of them. What this bill does is it authorizes the Cloverleaf Hall to be demolished. It's in bad need of repair. It has water damage, leaking roof, lack of proper ventilation, broken pipes, outdated electrical panels, and I have numerous things in the building that are unsafe for youth activities. It's approximately a 60,000 square foot building, and I'm sure some of you over your 4-H days, if you were in 4-H, probably stayed in this building. And as one of my fellow representatives mentioned, when they stayed in it, it was in bad shape then. The bill grants a spending authority for the building and construction of a new 4-H exhibit hall, approximately 33,000 square feet, to replace the existing Clover Hall building. The funding source is $4 million to be raised from private donations, no different than what we've just did for USD and SDSU. Ongoing maintenance and repair will be included in the future State Fair budget, just like the other facilities and the current facility on the State Fair grounds. A new 4-H exhibit hall will put displaced 4-H activities under one roof, provide a safe and secure location for these exhibits and activities, including performing arts, shooting sports, special foods, judging contests, skill-a-thons, fashion review, dog and cat shows, and speaking contests, to name a few. The South Dakota State Fair is a state championship for over these 8,500 youth who participate in 4-H activities. Last year, there were 3,624 livestock 4-H exhibits. There was 11,320 other exhibits. Exhibits were up 16% from the prior year. A new 4-H exhibit hall will also generate additional revenues for the state through facility rentals during the off-season. I would urge you to support this bill to authorize, not appropriate, authorize the $4 million that will be raised from private donations. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on Senate Bill 18. Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And after my district mate's last attempt at a bill, I figured I better stand up and give some support also for the South Dakota State Fair. I am also very much of a supporter of our 4-H and 4-H programs. I have judged photography at the State Fair and all of the different counties throughout the state of South Dakota for many, many years. I'm president of the Museum Board of Directors, and the Dakota Land Museum is on the fairgrounds. But once again, this building is directed for 4-H. It is not an appropriation. It is not going to cost the state any money. It is simply to authorize, since the South Dakota State Fairgrounds are your fairgrounds, they're a South Dakota State Park. We all own them. I cordially invite all of the legislators to be there at the 2013 State Fair. And therefore, please vote green on this bill and help my district made out after the last attempt at his bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that pitch for the Central States Fair in Rapid City. Further remarks? Representative Fiker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I just want to share with you, my three kids were all involved in 4-H. This is truly, 4-H is truly an opportunity for parents and their children to become engaged together for projects. I can remember on more than one occasion, they're all growing up now, have their own families, but I can remember times when we get down to the last week or two of when the exhibits needed to be turned in, and I'm telling you, it will engage moms and dads and the kids. This is 4-H is wonderful. Let's go green on this and move forward.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks. Senate Bill 18. Representative Magstadt.
Yes, I just want to say that I showed a cow at the 4-H complex area this past year. My first time ever, and that place was a dump. I'm sort of porting this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 18. Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did show a calf there this last summer, and a representative from Watertown from Coddington County showed her calf, and they line you up with the calf, and I would invite all of you to do that next year. I did make the final five. The good representative from Coddington County, did you? No. But it was a lot of fun. And when I was younger, I did stay at the dorms, and I did show a calf named Eldora run down the street, and I chased after her, and that's my memory of it. A great time, Vote Green.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Would any member like to speak for Representative Werner speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Werner.
Thank you. Well, I think this bill will have better chance than my last bill, but the four H's. You all look healthy enough to press your green button. You should have it in your heart to press the green button. And you should have it in your head to push the green button. So take your hand and push the green button.
Thank you. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 18. This will be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas.
Senate Bill 18, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 19, an act to authorize the Department of Agriculture to construct a housing unit in Huron, to make an appropriation therefore, and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 19, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Werner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, we also have another state fair. This one provides housing for the inmates who work at the state fair. Currently, inmates are housed at the National Guard Armory on the state fairgrounds. And when the National Guard is not using the facility, they are moved to another location, typically outside of the community, to be bused back in. And the National Guard now has revised their function of the Armory and will no longer be allowing these inmates to stay in the National Guard. SB 19 would provide for a permanent location for the inmates doing maintenance and repair work on the fairgrounds throughout the year. The bill asks for $100,000 in other fund authority. The other funds will be generated from revenues at the state fair from the gate, carnival, camping, grandstand, etc. The South Dakota State Fair relies heavily on inmate personnel to maintain state fairgrounds, including the setup and teardown of events, cleaning, painting, mowing, and construction. Utilizing inmate personnel helps keep labor costs at a minimum while providing a rehabilitating work program for these inmate population. The inmate program at the South Dakota State Fair saves an estimated $20,000 per year in labor costs. So I'll let you do the math. We have $100,000 here that will be used to build basically a 1.5 times governor's house with an open floor plan that will be able to house 20 inmates. That's $5,000 per inmate. You're saving $20,000 a year in labor costs. So on $100,000, it would take you 5 years to pay that back. Plus, in the meantime, the construction of this will be built by our Springfield unit. So it's a win-win-win situation. This bill will allow for a more secure, modern facility that will create many efficiencies on the state fair operation and be a cost savings over the long term. I would ask you to support Senate Bill 19. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I rise again in support of my district mate and Senate Bill 19 for our South Dakota State Fair. Our South Dakota State Fair is the biggest camping fair in the country. We had 1,744 campers last year, and I just want to let you know that The city of Huron is, of course, very supportive of our state fair. Advertising, fire protection, mosquito spraying, equipment rental, police, traffic, garbage, street cleaning, repair and promotion of off-season events at the fairgrounds, in excess of $150,000 a year in kind and direct support to our state fair. So the inmates, as the former speaker said, provide about $20,000 worth of repair on the state fair. So we're asking for a governor's house to be there to house the inmates. They work pretty much all year round, and it is a win-win-win situation. So would very much support or very much ask for your support on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Kopp.
Question of the sponsor.
State your question.
Representative, do you know why there's an emergency clause on this?
Representative Werner, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, I would, Mr. Speaker. I was pressing my green button already, so I'll push my mic. The reason for the emergency clause is so that they can begin the construction in Springfield so they can get it up there prior to the start of the season for these people to be there to be able to mow, repair, etc. So once it passes through this chamber here, governor signs it, they have the floor plan ready to start construction on it. Again, it's a 1.5 times a governor's house and with an open floor plan so that they can get it built and get it moved up to here.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Kopp, you still have the floor. Further remarks? Would any member like to speak for Representative Gibson speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this money is already in the governor's budget for this project as well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank
and
you.
Members of the House.
Further remarks? Seeing none, question for the House, final passage of Senate Bill 19. This will be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation emergency clause. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Wismer votes aye. Lateral votes aye. Heineman votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 5 nays.
Senate Bill 19, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 27, an act to revise previous session laws related to the design, construction, and equipping of a veterans home near Hot Springs to make an appropriation, therefore, and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 27, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. Well, this bill comes to us from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Again, from the Department of Veterans Affairs. It is the largest federal VA construction grant ever awarded to one facility, and is coming to South Dakota. Now, there's some complexities to that. A little history. Senate Bill 27 seeks additional appropriation of $6,671,214. This is an amendment to Senate Bill 52 that we passed in the 2011 session. That bill was for a total of $34.6 million, $22.49 million in federal authority, and $12.1 million in bonding and other fund authority. Senate Bill 27 seeks additional appropriations. Federal fund authority, $1.1 million, other funding and bonding authority, $4.2 million, and general fund authority, $1.3 million, for a total of $6.6 million. Now, why would you want to do this? Well, if you recall, the federal government gave us that large construction grant. They, during this process, determined that we need to make some modifications. To that end, there an additional two wings needed to be constructed. They're a little bit shorter. They required some kitchens for a more home-type atmosphere. It
resulted in an additional square footage of 10,000, roughly 10,000 square feet. There's some additional engineering costs and some additional household kitchens. In addition, surprise, surprise, there's a biomass plant attached to this $1.3 million, and there's some LEED efficiency, so there's a roof, a snarafil, which I can't tell you what that is, but it must be energy efficient. This is for the good, folks. I don't get off the track here, but the total appropriation for this deal is $41.2 million. Again, this bill is for $6.6 million. This is a good deal for our state. This facility has been in Hot Springs since 1889. It needs the upgrade. It's going to change from 52 nursing heads and 80 residential in a couple of buildings to a brand new facility that looks very nice. I can't show it to you. 52 nursing beds and 48 residential living beds. I think our veterans deserve this, and urge your support of Senate Bill 27.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Along with that, while this building is being constructed, we're not doing away with those beds. This is going to be a new purchase of land, and it's going to be a totally new facility set away so the people that are already there, that are committed to be in the veterans' home out there, will still have a place. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Senate Bill 27. Seeing no further remarks, question for the House's final passage of Senate Bill 27. This will be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation of the emergency clause. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Werner votes aye. Steele votes aye. Representative Cronin. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
Senate Bill 27, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Just one second here. I think we have a group coming in. Looks like the Aberdeen folks. On behalf of Representative Nordstrup, Fiker, Kaiser, Wismer, Greenfield, and Tolson, we'd like to welcome the blue shirts who are coming in the back and on the side here from Aberdeen Chamber of Commerce, Leadership Group, and All City Chorus. Please give them a hand.
Bill 78, an act to revise certain provisions relating to medical requirements for interstate drivers transporting passengers and to update certain references to federal statutes.
Senate Bill 78, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Virchow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill does two things. The first thing that it does is update our Title 49 compliance, which is a code of federal regulation on interstate drivers and commercial passenger carriers, which mandates physical to be able to drive these vehicles. The other thing that it does, it merely changes the date on this from 12 to 13 so that we're in compliance for the year 2013. The other thing that it does is that it allows an employer in South Dakota to require drivers, remember I said allows, of intrastate vehicles to meet medical certifications. It comes from a court case that has now been settled where a municipality wanted to have their drivers take a physical in order for them to operate the buses in the community, and it was denied because we didn't cover it in this law. So there is no pending case we're interfering with at this time. It does not impact school buses. School buses already are under this requirement. So why would we need these? Well, the DOT standards recognize that the standard is in existence. They are extensively used on a nationwide basis. There's readily available training and literature for physicians on the standards. They're peer-reviewed, examined on an ongoing basis as medical knowledge advances, and are the standards with which everyone is familiar. Use of the standard provides for consistency for an employer so that all its employees undergo and meet the same standard. An example would be if your children are taken to school on a school bus by someone who is required to take this, pass this physical, and they have to go out of town to a basketball game, they may very well be riding on the same safety-inspected school bus, but that driver may be a driver that is not certified through a medical exam. So if this bill passes, all intrastate drivers will not be required to meet this standard, but it is at the employer's determination. They decide whether or not to require their employees to meet these standards. Thank you. I hope you vote green on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Rosen.
I will speak to this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, because it is Mitchell that where the court case was. But this is critical because in Mitchell, we have drivers that drive the elderly around amongst all sorts of other people. And we have had a few accidents, so we do require this in Mitchell, and this will certainly back us up. So we'd appreciate a green vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Senate Bill 78. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the sponsor of the bill.
State your question, please.
He mentioned Article 8. This Article 8 isn't from Agenda 21, is it?
Representative Virchow, would you like to answer that United Nations question?
I'm not sure it's even a serious question, but the answer is no.
Representative Steele, you still have the floor.
Thank you, that's all.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 78? Seeing none, question for the House's final passage of Senate Bill 78. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Nelson and Soley. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas, 3 nays.
Senate Bill 78, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. One second. Representative Lust.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar until tomorrow, the 28th legislative day.
Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. There being no objection, House, revert to order business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1023, 1034, and 1169 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 10:45 a.m. February 21, 2013. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared House Bill 1006, 1052, 1157, and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that House Bill 1125 was tabled. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Speaker signs an act to revise certain provisions relating to the termination of certain mineral interests. Speaker signs an act to revise certain requirements for third-party administrators and pharmacy benefits managers. Speaker signs an act to increase certain penalties regarding the sale of petroleum products. Announcement. Speaker has an announcement. Oh, this is a good one. Immediately following session today in room 413, that's today, is the Behavioral Health Work Group report put on by the Department of Social Service. I know you're not going to want to miss that. Room 413, immediately following session. Further announcements. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. We have a full calendar.
Thank you. Further announcements. Representative Sly, are you behind that man back there?
I am. I'm just trying to move over so you can see me. We have House Education tomorrow morning, 7:45.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., room 413.
Thank you. Further announcements.
What room did you say?
Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriations, we're hearing two bills tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Two bills tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Further announcements? Seeing Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to talk about local government committee, but we don't meet till Tuesday, so I wanted to get a little head start on something else. Next Wednesday, as you all have been anticipating, and Mr. Speaker may know what I'm going to address here, will be the official Packer Day at the Capitol. I'd ask you all to wear your football equipment or have your favorite team's helmets on the desk. Thank you.
Never heard of them. Further announcements. Representative Carson.
How many world championships did the Packers win?
That's out of order. Further announcements. Can I get a Skull Vikings? Anybody? Representative Steele.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn. Vikings!
Those in favor of adjourning will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.